Now, if I mention Madoda Kuzwayo, no one here will know who he is and what his life has become. But let me tell you about Madoda. He was raised by his granny, or Gogo, when his mother was killed in a political faction fight in KwaZulu-Natal, which left him and his two sisters in the care of their Gogo, or the granny. His father worked in the gold mines of Gauteng. He was 9 years old when he served as a cow herd. I'm sure you all know what a cow herd is. At 13, the area became a hotspot for violence and too dangerous for a young boy. So his granny dispatched Madoda, disguised as a girl, together with his two sisters, to stay with his father in Gauteng. He cycled many miles to get to school in rain and sunshine. And despite all the odds, challenges, and difficult circumstances, Madoda matriculated top of his class with 100% distinction in maths and received distinction in all his other subjects as well. Madoda was awarded a bursary and enrolled in university to study electrical engineering. He qualified and was sent to the furthest outpost of South Africa's electrical stations, a bridge too far for someone destined to change the world. He resigned and headed off to the UK to seek employment with only £80 and his backpack. A series of odd jobs had him sharing accommodation with other South Africans until he found a job as a dishwasher in a hotel in Oxford. As he got off the bus, he saw an advert in a shop window. His eyes lit up. Electrical engineers wanted. He applied and got the position. And during this time, he worked two jobs. And so Madoda studied during the time of working two jobs, IT. A series of setbacks found him back in South Africa in 2012. He entered the SAB Kickstart competition and won the Gauteng Regional Contest with his first internet business idea, an email-focused business for Africa. Madoda went on to form Open Tenders, helping small to medium enterprises navigate the world of private and public tender and procurement opportunities. Now, you can Google him to find that Madoda stands as a role model for young people who can learn a lot from him. Now, I didn't pick it up from Google. I learned from one of my fellow bishops. Whenever we go to Cape Town Airport, they give you free leadership magazines. You can just pick it up the shelf. It costs 200 rands in the shop, but it's free there. So we just help ourselves to these leadership magazines. And it's fascinating to read how leaders within the context of South Africa basically come to the fore and how they have made it in life. And I've taken it from the leadership magazine edition 376, November 2016. Now, why am I telling you this story at a New Year's Eve service? Well, it is a story the Apostle Paul talks about. The only difference is that he talks about a Christian story with him playing the lead role. And he began by saying, forget your past. If you look at verse 13 in Philippians chapter 3, it says there, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now the question is, brothers and sisters, what does Paul want us to forget from the past? If you know of Paul's past, it was not very savory. In fact, Paul himself didn't even want to look at his past. It is riddled with religious hypocrisy, to the point where he became a murderer. And Paul was not proud of his past, nor did he want to dwell in it. He had every reason to glory in his past life. Have a look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. If you don't have your Bibles, you'll pick it up on the screen itself. Philippians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. And I'll pick it up from verse 5. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to law, a Pharisee, as for zeal persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Now, Paul goes on to say that he considered his past life garbage. In fact, he uses the word rubbish in certain versions. In some versions, it says dung, rotten dirt, when compared to the infinite value of knowing Jesus Christ. Now, many of you would know, as a man of the house, or as the head of the home, you will have the unsatisfactory task of taking out the garbage every Wednesday. I hope you do, and not leave it to your wife or your children, unless that has been delegated to them. Together with that, I know for myself, I have to pick up the dog poo, which is tightly, it's not very nice picking up dog poo. And that is if you have dogs. And you gotta make sure that it's you know, tightly tied up and thrown away with the garbage. Now, when you open the bin sometimes, and especially, you know, when you had a lot to eat and you throw away a lot during the festive season, you go and open the bin and out crawls out of this bin maggots. I don't know if you've had that experience. Now, don't look at me as if you're so clean and, you know, and everything else, like, you know, as if I'm the only person that's got a dirty bin, all right? But that's what happens. All these things crawl out. And it's, you don't want to touch it, you don't want to get your hands dirty, but you have to do it. And that is what Paul is trying to describe when he speaks of his past life as garbage, rubbish, or dung. And there is much in our past life that we would rather forget about than talk about. There is much in our past life, friends, that I can tell you that many of us would not want to go there. There are skeletons in the cupboard. And these are things, if not dealt with, can hinder you from a healthy walk with the Lord. On the other hand, Christ has dealt with the past, and therefore, the present and the future have so much more that we can look forward to. Now, I don't believe in New Year's resolutions. You might find that strange, because I believe they simply don't work. New Year's resolutions don't work. See, anyone can be caught up in the excitement of the hour and say things that will make a difference in their future. But it doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Well, simply because it is not accompanied by faith. And secondly, it is not accompanied by hard work in faith that faith requires. So, what I do believe in, though, is my new faith resolution. And my new faith resolution helps me to build on the past, to carry me through the present, so that I may be presented mature or perfect in the future. That is what Paul is trying to get through. Have a look at verse 12 and especially verse 13 of chapter 3. He says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Can you see that? Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Now, in some way, Paul is talking or is taking us through three stages of perfection in terms, or you might want to call it completion, that we as Christians are called to register in our hearts and in our minds. And if you look at it carefully, you'll discover there in verse 12b that firstly, there is a perfect relationship in terms of our union with Christ. And the only reason God declares you perfect is because of Jesus. See, Jesus bought you with his blood. And he died for you. And he exchanged your sin for his righteousness. Or his righteousness for your sin. I hope you get that. And the work on earth is done. It is finished. Christ does not need to do the work again. He's already accomplished that on the cross. And so this perfection is absolute and unchangeable. And so if you ever look at Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, okay, you'll discover there, and I will read it from the screen if my screen stops blinking. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head of every power and authority. If you find me breaking, it's because the screen just blinks. It's not happening up there, but it's happening down here, because of our internet. Now, what is Paul trying to say? Well, he's really saying in Colossians that we have been made perfect in Christ. Now, I was preaching last week Thursday, at my brother-in-law's funeral. And tributes came in from all corners that he was a Christian. Now, I really wanted to believe that. In one sense, if he has believed that Jesus is the only way to heaven and accepted the death made on behalf of him through Christ, who paid for his sins, then sure he is a Christian whom Jesus has made perfect through his death and resurrection. I don't want to dispute that. However, his conduct tells me something else. He never attended church or sat under the preaching of God's word. The only time he was in the fellowship of God's people was in a funeral or a wedding. He spent most of his life fishing. His brother, who is a pastor, told us how much the fish loved to be caught by him. They all came to him whilst the hundreds of fishermen around him caught nothing. That was for half an hour, he's telling us about the fish. He chose to live with an unbelieving woman for 10 years without marrying her. Now, I don't want to stand in judgment of my brother-in-law. Have a look at verse 18 of chapter 3. It says there, "For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ." See, God's word is confirming what I'm trying to bring to you practically. One cannot call oneself a Christian and then display conduct that is directly opposite to everything a Christian ought to be. Your creed and your conduct must go together. Belief and behavior must come together. It must be married. As you can see, Paul is pointing out that many are living as enemies of the cross. How? Well, he goes on to say their God is not Jesus, but their God is their appetite or their stomach. They don't eat to live, they live to eat. They live to socialize. They spend and be spent in company that corrupts. When they get into conversation, they brag and boast about shameful things. Their thoughts, energy, and life is spent on this life and what it has to offer. Have a look at verse 19 with me, would you? It says that their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. You see, Paul says those who live like this are headed for destruction. Christians who know Christ are connected with Jesus and know their eternal life is secure. The second stage of perfection or completion that we are called to register in our hearts and mind is perfect progress. You know, every year that goes by, you will understand that you have grown spiritually mature. I hope this is what happens to you. As you look back on your years, whether you have been 10 years or 5 years or 2 years in the faith, or 30 years or 40 years, there has to be a steady growth towards maturity. Now, Paul himself says, I have not attained that perfect spiritual maturity. It's a continual progress. And so he's talking about every day basically coming to Jesus and living on the diet of Jesus. Have a look at verse 12 again. Verse 12 says, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me." Brothers, I hope you grasp this truth. Jesus took hold of you. I mean, the very fact that you are here sitting in a service and listening to the word of God and participating in terms of fellowship with one another and singing and glorifying the Lord means that there is something that God has ignited in your heart in terms of your life. He's bought you with his precious blood, and he expects you to live a life that is in conformity to his will. And so, he's expecting to see progress. See, our progress is changeable. You can measure it. We are growing towards it. And Paul could say with confidence, if you look at verse 17 with me, with confidence he says this, join with others in following my example and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. Isn't that interesting? You know, I am actually, sometimes it is a scary thought to tell somebody, follow my example. But you can't tell somebody, follow me. Follow my example, even as I follow the example of Christ. Paul could say that. And he says, pattern your life after mine. Now, I believe Paul knew his weaknesses, and I also believe that Paul knew his strengths. And he says that again in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. He says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Don't envy me because I follow Jesus. Imitate me. And he goes on to say, not only imitate me, but imitate others. I hope you brothers find joy in meeting around people that are godly. You know, some people feel uncomfortable in a godly person's company. The moment you get there, you get the feeling that they want to get rid of you because you make them uncomfortable. And the Bible says that you got to seek after those that are godly and mature, where you can attain and grow and develop. Don't envy them because they live in a certain way. Follow them and love them because this will lead to maturity in Christ. So the last stage of perfection or completion is when Jesus comes to us or when we go to him. Have a look at verses 20 and 21 of chapter 3. Verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. Now, the first part there, you'll notice that he's speaking about being grounded in Christ in terms of what he has done for you. Not what we can do for him. We can't do anything for Jesus. All we can do is please him in worship. We cannot perfect ourselves. Only God can work in and through us to continue his work until he returns. I mean, Paul starts off with that. If you go right to the beginning of the letter, you will see there in Philippians 1:6. And if you look at Philippians 1:6, he says, I'll pick it up from verse 5. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And look at verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is only Jesus who can do that good work in us. No one else. And so friends, as I come to the close of this message, we're looking at the past. The Bible says, forget your past. Live in the present. Because verse 14 basically tells us that I press on towards the goal to win the prize. We heard about Michael Phelps, who has taken so many awards. Now, that didn't come just because, you know, he had the gift for swimming. There was hard work, there was discipline, there was training, and he wanted the prize, he wanted the crown. And so we need to press on. And remember, friends, when you are discouraged, God won't give up on you. He promises to finish the work he has begun. He started the work, God will complete it. And when you feel incomplete, when you feel unfinished, when you feel distressed, or you feel your failures and your shortcomings, remember his promise in 1:6. Don't let yourself, or don't let your present condition, rob you of your joy in Christ. Press on. Think about how you can be involved with people's lives. Think about how you can engage in the church where you can be used. 2017 may be the year when life takes on a new meaning for you. And you want to put your faith into action. See what I mean by people on the streets there? They celebrate New Year's before the New Year's clock goes out. And I'll keep watching the clock. But it's only 11:30. So, finally, friends, as I close, verse 14 says, do not only forget the past, live in the present, but look to the future. Look at what lies ahead. Perhaps there are goals you have set in life. Reach for them. And I told you about Kuzwayo Madoda, or Madoda Kuzwayo. He had goals. He set himself goals. And look at where it's taken him from a secular point of view. And from a spiritual perspective, we need to set goals. I remember having a chat with my girls when they were young and pretty immature. I urged them to set goals and to prioritize their lives. Now you can ask them if you think I'm fibbing, yeah? Because one of my daughters is here, the other is sick at home. The first was to successfully finish their education. You know, God has given us a mind to be educated. And if we can educate our children, let us do that. The second was to get for them to get their driver's license. And the third was to find a partner who loves Jesus. See, I'm taking it that they are already Christians because I spoke to them. And then use all that they have achieved for the glory of God, not for selfish reasons. You know, we pursue academic careers, we pursue all kinds of things for our own selfish gain. But the Bible says when we do things, we must do it all for the glory of God. And I know that many people chase after many things in life, but find little or no satisfaction. And Paul says, your ultimate goal is to please Jesus and to look forward to the prize of the crown that you will get. So when I die, I don't want people to use scripture or any scripture verse as a cliche. I've been to enough funerals. And I've seen enough scripture verses written on the front of, with the picture there and in the front. And if you know anything about the person's life, they have not lived up to that scripture verse. Some did. Some can say truly, we have run the race. We have fought the fight. We have kept the faith. And there is a crown of righteousness waiting. And that is what 2017, that is what 2018, and that is what 2030, 2040, and 2050 should continually hold for you. Even when I am dead and gone, even when your parents are dead and gone, remember that you need to keep Christ at the center of focus in your life. And so we are called as Christian brothers and sisters to stay on course, Forget the past. Live in the present. Look to the future as you serve the Lord who has given us perfect help, given us perfection and completion in Christ our Lord. I want to pray and I want to bring you before the Lord. So would you bow with me in prayer, and perhaps in your own mind and in your own heart, you want to think about what has just been explained. And you want to consider your own life. You may be here today. You may be gone tomorrow. As Paul himself says, we are like mist. We appear in the morning and we are gone by the afternoon. And so I want you to consider your life in terms of 2017 and ask yourself, how can I be more proactive in my spiritual life in terms of bringing it in line with the scriptures and to become more mature in my life so that I can get more involved in the years ahead? So next year is, we're thinking of reaching 500 people in our conversations. I've already started. I hope you have started as well. And I pray that your life will be in line with what Paul says. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of various kinds, for the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And now I pray that God will use you for His glory. Let us pray. Perhaps you want to think about that for a few moments and then I'll pray. Our gracious Lord, we come to you this evening in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we have been singing some wonderful hymns that remind us of your majesty, that remind us of your glory and your power and how great thou art. Now help us, Lord, as we think about 2017 and as it approaches, that we will forget the past, that we will live in the present and look to the future as we serve the Lord who has given us complete perfection in Himself. And Lord, help us that we may grow daily in our walk with you. And I pray for someone here that is struggling. Perhaps, Lord, they have wandered far away from you. Perhaps, Lord God Almighty, they have been disillusioned with their own faith. And perhaps, Lord, they have been led astray by fine-sounding arguments and philosophical ideas. Oh God, would you bring them back? Will you help them to come back to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith? And so we want to commend ourselves to you, and we pray that as we get into the new year, Lord, and indeed it will be a year that will be filled with the excitement of doing things for Jesus as Jesus works in and through us, because He who has begun a good work in us is faithful to bring it to completion. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.